The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are here. I am Jeff, X-Force 11.
And I am John, a.k.a. the Silver Vox.
And welcome to Gotham Undercover. We are Gotham Undercover. This is episode 93, and we are part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or searching the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover. John, tell us what we're discussing this week.
All right. We have got episode 4, entitled Ruin. And this was written by James Patrick Stetterow, and he has worked on things like Krypton, One Tree Hill, Kyle XY, and also by Chad Fiveash, who has done all the same work. Apparently these two go as a pair.
I wasn't sure looking in the show notes if that was like a show called Same.
It took me two or three times. I would go back and forth like, did I actually click on his name? Did I click? No? Okay. They do all the same stuff.
So they're
stuff.
A writing pair.
They are a writing pair. Yes. Yeah, so they go together. And This was directed by Nathan Hope. And he has done other work on Lethal Weapon, Lucifer, and the CSI franchises, New York Cyber and CSI The Mothership. So good stuff all around.
Yeah, I really will get into it, but I really enjoyed this episode for a lot of reasons. Yeah. And so getting into ratings, what did you give it, John?
Well, in honor of this being Gotham Undercover 93, I give this episode 9.3 cans of peaches I'd give someone else's arm and a leg for.
Just to kind of round and or try to get it to rhyme, I gave it 9.4 noir kisses in the captain's office. Four noir, just a little. But anyway,
there you go.
Yeah. So that was it, very interesting. Very, very interesting way to open and close this episode. The cinematography on both of those scenes, were flat out amazing. That's like movie quality with the fire and the ash floating in the air and just the look of Babs with the gun out. And then at the end we have, you know, the light kind of flashing on their faces and the shadows. It was just amazing this week.
It was. I was just, I mean, there wasn't any part of this that I wasn't just captivated and just blown away, impressed with. And yeah, I mean, the only 0.7 that I can take away was that noir kiss in the office at the end. It almost felt too comic booky for me.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the only thing I could take away. It's like, wow.
I thought that was, it was a little too soon for me too. It was very, very good. So,
yeah. All right. So, I'm playing producer, with this episode of Gotham Undercover. So I came up with the story titles this week and hopefully you guys will enjoy them. We have our A story, which is There Are Lines That We Won't Cross. And that deals with Jim and Penguin and Victor Zsasz. And then we have our B story, which I tried to make into a riddle, but I couldn't come up with one very good. But anyway, it's When Is a Bomb Not a Bomb? And then our C story is Hell Hath No Fury Like a Catwoman Shot. And that deals with Selina, Bruce, Alfred, Jeremiah, and Echo. And then we have a bonus story. Why Don't You Make Like a Tree and Get Out of Here? And that's from, that's with Jim and Babs. There you go.
Yeah. So Let's get into that bonus one because we've seen in the last couple episodes this, you know, kind of back and forth where Jim is having to go to her for supplies and equipment, and
she keeps calling back to their relationship. It always comes back to where they've been and how far they've come. And she just came right out with it in the beginning. She was like, do you honestly think that I could kill all those people? And when he was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, okay, I guess I deserve that. But it's all of their interactions this season have been kind of culminating, obviously, to this point at the end of the episode. But it's like you and I talked about a couple episodes back. She is reminiscing or reflecting back on just whatever this situation has done to her, has really got her back in the mind of the relationship that they used to have years ago.
Yeah, I think it's somewhat of a, she's lost this footing of losing Tabitha. She's having to stand up and be in charge here of the Sirens all by herself. And she knows she's moved on past it, but having maybe that crutch of having Jim would be helpful to her, just emotionally maybe, because I honestly don't want to see her go back to season one, Barbara, which I don't think they would ever do. But maybe it's she sees it as they're both desperate people in desperate place, and let's make the best of it while we can. You know, I don't know. But it's going to make for interesting times to see where we go from here, because even though she was not responsible for Haven and she wants to help out Jim and gives him information on two different occasions in this episode, she is still on that vengeance of trying to get Penguin. And you know, that's going to bring her at odds with Jim. So it's going to be interesting, but it did feel a little, you know, forced and a little too quick to me. But, you know, like I said, it's one of those things where, I mean, it was beautifully shot and it just shows you what state of mind that they're both in at this point.
Yeah. And it does it. And we'll talk more about this, but it really speaks to how far kind of Jim is falling off the cliff and how quickly he's doing that. Yeah. So,
yeah, yep. Definitely. All right. Let's talk about, let's kind of work our way up to the big storyline. Let's talk about, the Riddler, storyline. This was interesting because we have been seeing bits and pieces of the Riddler versus Ed all this season. Yeah. We've been seeing little fragments here and there, and we're getting now, thanks to a bump on the head, some insight. And so we're still left questioning the motivation, and it sounds like we'll get that next episode. But so Riddler wakes up with an empty suitcase and some words written, you know, smudged on his hand, and he's got to go find out what that means. And he thinks that's, you know, an inmate at this certain inmate. Uh-huh. And so he runs into Lucius in the GCPD while trying to sneak out the file. And Lucius kind of ropes him in and realizes, listen, I've got to have some help figuring this out. And so I like this kind of back and forth of them working together.
Absolutely. Lucius, I really love the role that he had in this episode. It was it was grounded. It was just really understanding his limitations. And he even tried to tell James without just coming out and telling him, look, I don't even know where to begin to figure out, you know, how mm-hmm. this blast at Haven could have occurred. I mean, just the crime scene alone is just huge. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that, I love that he saw the opportunity and grabbed it immediately, literally with the file, but grabbed the opportunity to work with Ed's mind that he knows mm-hmm. is sharp and he knows can, you know, can work with him and as a sounding board and everything else. So yeah, I was love this interaction back and forth, and especially on the roof.
Oh yeah.
It looks like impressive. You looked at the velocity and how it came down in the window and the trajectory and he's like, yeah, and the box is over there.
And, you know, and that's the one of the roofs we've seen him wake up on before. And, you know, and so that's kind of interesting. But, yeah, I love the back and forth of looking at the analyzing everything when they were trying to figure out and getting everything in. Yeah. You know, Lucius is one of those characters that we've gotten peppered throughout the series. And just, you know, he makes that role, you know – very, very memorable when he's in there. Just Chris does, but just not enough of it. But the partnership of the two of them just goes well together. Yeah. So, you know, we've got the Riddler sees this woman over there in the apartment. He gets there and realizes, hey, that's the same number that was on my hand. But she kind of lets the cat out of the bag and says, you know, hey, you're the one that, you know, shot that thing and blew it up and starts beating him over the head, you know, kind of knocks some of Ed into him and he just rolls her right out the window. But, you know, I'm very, very curious to know what the motivation is because he's attacking Haven. He has set the gangs on each other with this – you know, and on to Penguin with this graffiti. Mm-hmm. So we've seen all these different places where he's been doing stuff, but we still don't know the motivation. And, you know, like I said, it's just going to be interesting to see where this goes from here.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's like Penguin has gotten folks to his place because of safety and because mm-hmm. of work and supplies and so on and so forth. And Jim has done the same. Okay, we'll create this safe place for the citizens to come and to be, you know, fed at least in, you know, in rations and have that safety and so on and so forth. And you're right. I mean, surely, I mean, you can make a power play as Riddler is doing, but he's not really gaining any sympathy to his kind of side of things. So is it just chaos for chaos's sake? You know, I know, and I was right there with you. We really felt like Jeremiah was the one that was, you know, pulling out these RPGs. And so, you're right. This is an interesting twist for the Riddler to be the one because, you know, what's the larger play here? I mean, if he succeeds and he, you know, gets rid of everybody's safety and everybody's safe zone, what does that do for him? I don't really understand.
Right, and you brought it up in the blog post that more than likely it's him the one that took down the Wayne supply chopper.
Oh, Lucius actually came out and said that. Yeah, it was the same fragments and the same.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, once again, he's working on all areas. And so we just don't know. And it's going to be very interesting to see where we go from here. It's one of those storylines that it's going to, I think we're going to get to see some resolution mm-hmm. next week. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we're going to get to see all of it. And so maybe it's one of those ones that's kind of strung out through the season. Yep. But we'll see. But we'll see. Let's get into Hell Hath No Fury because, wow.
Yeah. So Selina goes after the recruits, the newest recruits who didn't die by the Russian roulette, and she follows them to their next stage they're all being led by Echo, and she kind of figures out what's going on underneath or attached to this Church of Jeremiah, and we come back to the tunnel. that we got the kids out of back
with the soothsayers.
Yeah. Back in Trespassers.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, who is there but our own Jeremiah? Were you surprised by this appearance?
I was. I was surprised that it was him behind it and him being the one that was kind of ramping up production.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about a deadline and trying to, you know, we're not going to meet this deadline. And, you know, he just takes out Sykes right there and tells people to dig a little deeper. And but yeah, it was very surprising because who's he trying to connect with on the other side?
Yeah.
It's very curious. And this storyline really had me questioning because we see, thankfully, Selena did not get rid of all of Bruce's weapons and that kind of stuff because he could send out the alert and get Alfred to come help him after he takes out those goons.
Yeah.
But you know, I really appreciate Alfred's like, listen, you can't save her from yourself, but until you realize that, well, we should go save her. So, you know, they sneak in, they take some folks out, but not before a very smart Selena grabs Echo's clothing. And I'm like, did Echo change out of it into more work gear and so she just stole it? Or did Selena take out Echo? We just don't know, but Selena repeatedly stabs Jeremiah and is about to, you know, slit his throat when she's pulled off of him. And I'm like, this is the first we've seen of him, and you're like, killing him, basically. You know, this, you know, something's going to go on. I was waiting for some type of twist or turn here.
Yeah. I really, really loved the dance between Jeremiah
goodness.
And Echo and her kind of bringing him up to speed.
Oh, because there's some cool GIFs out there on Tumblr that people have put together with of those. And the way that she was dancing with the lyrics of telling him things.
Yep.
But it was just so cool. The two of them dancing there, very Joker and Harley there.
And I love the little moment where he's kind of, you know, mumbling and and, you know, laughing to himself. And then, like, when she comes around, he's got to be, like, all boss, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, just some of those touches were just amazing. And, of course, you know, Cameron Monaghan just knocked it out of the park yet again in Jeremiah. But, yeah, just really surprised to see his involvement in this and super surprised to see that this could be the end. I mean, it's Gotham, so I doubt it.
Yeah.
But they sure left it looking like that he didn't have much of a chance.
Desperate times. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen next. But that was very surprising for me because, like I said, it's a character that we've been talking about for the last, you know, basically 3.5 episodes and now we see him and he's killed off. And I'm like, this just doesn't make sense. But we know that things are going to change and things are going to, you know, we know Cameron's in the final episode.
Yeah.
So how that works out, we just don't know. But it was very interesting. And like I said, I loved kind of the aesthetic there of the goons with the helmets and the mask and the things there. Just even Jeremiah's outfit with the popped up collar on the coat and everything.
Yeah, and the purple hat.
It was just fun.
Oh, and the way that Bruce and Alfred took out the goons. was, I mean, was so Batman, right? Mm-hmm. In the dark, and all of a sudden they just disappear. Fantastic. Yeah, between the communicator to get Alfred and the way they took mm-hmm. them out and everything, it's like, oh, okay, we're here.
Yeah,
you know, he just doesn't have the cowl on. You know, I mean, it's yeah. you know, yeah, we are basically here. So,
yeah.
All right. So, yeah, interesting to see where this goes from here. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. The main one, man. Oh man, this was. We pick up right after where we left last week, and I love the way that, in a way that. Made it feel so real. I mean, it reminded me of the opening of Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
With,
yeah, I can see
you know, that. The battlefield fog of you're seeing Jim, who's been in warfare, stepping up and organizing people and getting people moving, and you see you know, some of the folks are wondering what to do next and just waiting on orders. And you see the guy who's just in shock and he's like, you know, telling him to go get medical supplies. And yeah. Like I said, again, the cinematography was just so breathtaking with the fire and the ash and just the change when we went from night to day. Mm-hmm. But the darkness that was there reflecting how burnt out the place was. And yeah. It was just so beautifully shot.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
And I was super impressed that you could see the shock and the, mm-hmm. you know, all that off of Penguin's face. I mean, he was genuinely shaken. And I just thought, you know, again, Robin Lord Taylor just really pulled that one out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was just Jim was questioning him, and you see in his face when he says, "No, I would never do that." You see that truth there, that naked truth, because there's no facade, there's no nothing there, and the same with Barbara, like we talked about before, where. Her goal is in sight and there's nobody hindering, but she realizes it's just not the time. I can't.
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
the acting is just amazing. Just amazing there. So.
Well, and you can tell that this is the point, like looking back on it over a couple viewings, that this is the point mm-hmm. where Jim, he snaps.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because he will reach out and figure out anybody. To hang this on. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to me how we draw it out with Zaz and how Jim puts it together and still has that sense of right and wrong. But mm-hmm. at this point, Jim he'll point at anybody that he thinks is capable of this and try and deal with it and take them out. And he's one step, you know, closer to over that edge right here, right now in this moment.
Yeah. And that's the thing that, I think makes it interesting with his character because we're seeing this in his character now where he is crossing lines. He's being stretched past his breaking point. Mm-hmm. And you can see how if this is where he is now, that when he is given the tool of Batman,
yeah.
who he can lay that burden onto mm-hmm. so that he does not have to do it all. I mean, he knows that there's no way he can see even at this point up into this episode, last episode, Harvey was like, let us shoulder some of the weight. And he physically can't do that. That's not in his nature. I think it's going to take him being broken like we see in this season to become the Commissioner Gordon that says, listen, I understand that I'm going to need this tool of Batman and I might not appreciate or condone all of his actions, but I realize that I can't do it on my own. And he's a tool that I can use so that this city can survive. And so it is very interesting. I think the season is taking, I mean, it's going to take all of our characters to breaking points in different aspects. But I think this last episode and this episode, when you see him presented with the badge,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and you see the people coming in the GCPD and confronting him, and the speech just doesn't work. You just see that brokenness on him, but yet he is willing to make those actions. Like you said, we get this scoop of, hey, you know, somebody saw Zaz or saw this cloaked figure or whatever, and that leads them to Zaz. I loved this scene of them confronting Zaz. Yeah.
Oh, hey everybody.
and Bing was like, I know that voice. And Jim's like, Zaz? Hey everybody. And you're like, oh my god, because we've been waiting all season to see Zaz, you know. It's like, yeah. And I love, you know, so he's like, okay, keep him, so, you know, keep him, you know, in one spot with your suppressing fire.
And he takes his cup and he's just drinking.
Having his milkshake. He's just enjoying it. And then you get this flying tackle from Jim. As, you know, it's like, yes.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yes. What a move.
You know, it harkens back to the comic book character because – when he's being quote unquote interrogated,
yeah,
he says, listen, you know, if I'd killed that many people, you would see scars all over my body. And in the comic book, that's he, you know, every person that he kills, he marks his body with it.
Right.
And that kind of brings it back that way. But, you know, Jim is looking into it. He's getting, like we talked about, Lucius to look into things, and they've determined it, you know, where it's coming from, so it couldn't have been Zaz. But Penguin's ready to get power back, and he's ready to maybe get some payback on Zaz.
Well, and payback, and he's ready to give the people something that they want. They want somebody to hang for all of this mess.
Right.
And they haven't turned on Jim totally yet. But, you know, one of the things that I know I highlighted in the blog post was, you know, Jim keeps putting this message out there of, you know, we just have to hang on. We just have to hope. We have to, you know, wait, mm-hmm. supplies will come, so on and so forth. And he's finally reached the point after we hear somebody new on the shortwave, telling him that, you know, we're working on it, and he just totally gives up. And that's the end result. He's like, this is empty words that I'm giving. And
right.
And I can't keep doing this. I can't keep putting false hope in front of these folks. And he finally comes out and says, look, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to happen or not, if we're just on our own. But if it's Lord of the Flies time, then, you know, we've got to decide this is who we are or this is who we are, but we've got to come down on, you know, treating each other well, because this may be it.
Yeah. And you bring up the person on the shortwave, you know, this is the person he got that call from, you know, saying, you know, have hope, we're going to help you, where the government wasn't. And we got a name, at least according to closed captioning, but unfortunately, I don't have the notes in front of me, and it's not on IMDb. But we did get a name, and it said Walker, and that was the name, was Walker, and that was also the name on the credit in year zero. So, interesting thing, Walker is the, you know, the actress who plays her is Jamie Murray, and I know her, she was in Defiant, Science. She was in H.G. Wells. I mean, she played H.G. Wells in Warehouse 13. So she's done a lot of sci-fi. So it'll be, you know, it'll be interesting if we actually get to see her in Gotham. But, you know, she's trying to reassure, but he's just not having it. In this this episode. And so, yeah, it's interesting. So we get Sass taken before this court right out of, you know, the Dark Knight Rises.
That's right.
And man, oh man, giving him the guillotine. I mean, I'm like, okay. You got any last words? And Penguin's like, very good, or whatever.
Didn't understand you anyway.
But, you know, that they thankfully save him, and Jim surprisingly releases him and wants to, like, you know, maybe duel him. I was like, what are you doing? Are you not smart?
Yeah.
Harvey's like, don't ever ask me to do that again.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, literally Jim is he's coming apart at the seams.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be Harvey or, Barbara, or, you know, I don't know when or if we're going to see Lee again. And, you know,
yeah, what, I mean, sometime soon, hopefully.
You know, I know he, you know, I know he thinks that she's gone, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And that's, I always root for Jim and her, but yeah, it's, I don't know what it's going to take to bring him back. But I'm glad Zaz kind of saw it for what it was and was like, yeah, okay, we'll do this another time or another way, or so.
Yeah, so we're left with, you know, Jim and the GCPD and even Penguin don't know who it is that blew up Haven.
Right.
And, you know, Ed is smart. Ed is not going to leave. I mean, I know Lucius is pretty much a good match for Riddler, and we've got Ed doing this, but I don't think we're going to find clues that way from, you know, fingerprints or things that way. So I'm wondering how this all comes out, that the GCPD and Jim finds out it was Ed.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's just going to, I mean, from the promo, it looked like, you know, Ed was just going to lose it all over Penguin. Mm-hmm. And maybe he just might come out and admit it. You know, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be epic.
So. Oh my goodness. Yeah. All right. Anything else that tidbits we may have missed?
I don't think so. I guess this is confirmation that, his little deputy, was it William?
Yeah.
He didn't make it. And that's, I was just like, it's bad. That's bad.
Yeah. So. It is. Yeah. So, so we had not as much feedback this week, but we did get some feedback. So, meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice. I've got to give a shout out. I've bought the DC streaming service, and it has been well worth it to me. The content that is new, Titans, was very good. 98% of the reason why I got the streaming service was for Young Justice, the third season, which I've still got 2 episodes left, but that is one of the best and most well-rounded. It's basically a extended Justice League because of all the characters they bring in.
Huh.
There's a lot of in the last couple episodes, there've been a lot of the Bat family who've been brought in, different characters. So, you know, if you're thinking about you know, on the fence about getting a streaming service, go for it, because it gives you some real insight into some of the characters there and characters that you see in different ways, because, you know, there are lighter aspects to it and there are darker aspects to it, but it's, you know, it's really hearkening back to the Justice League comic, you know, the series, and it's really good. So, nice. Go check it out, and I'm sure everybody will enjoy it. All right, first off, we've got some feedback from our good buddy Bat Jordan. So, take it away, Bat Jordan.
What's up, Gotham Undercover? This is Bat Jordan Valdez calling in from Georgia. I'm just calling in to talk about the Gotham episode Ruin. First off, I wanted to just clarify something from last episode. Karen was talking about the convention that we're going to be hosting some panels at, and it's actually Atlanta Sci-Fi and Fantasy Expo. That's the one in March that Karen and I are hosting some panels at. Atlanta Comic Con, which is what she called it, that's actually in July. I'll be at that one too. Karen, I highly recommend you coming to that one too. That one, they just did their first year last year. I recommend that to everybody because that one's a ton of fun too. But so is Atlanta Sci-Fi and Fantasy Expo, and that's the one coming up soon in March that Karen and I will be doing a few panels together at. So wanted to say that. Talking about this episode of Gotham, Ruin, because I absolutely loved it. Loved seeing Selina track down Jeremiah. And even though it wasn't as Bat-Cat heavy this episode because, you know, Bruce and Selina were apart in this episode, mm-hmm. I loved at the end when Bruce did catch up with her. And I'm super excited to see more Bat-Cat moments going forward now that Bruce has caught up to Selina after she attacked Jeremiah. I loved seeing our first taste of Jeremiah this season. You know, sort of been waiting this season to see him. And man, his first appearance did not disappoint at all. I loved it. This was a very fantastic episode when it comes to the villains, because not only did we get Jeremiah, but also I love the stuff with Daz in this episode, seeing him for the first time in a while too. I think Kerrigan is always super creepy in the role, so I love that. Stuff with the Riddler. I love that we got a nod to Batman Forever when the Riddler pushed his boss out the window, Fred. And here we see when he pushes the old woman out the window. So sort of a darkly humorous homage to Batman Forever. But sort of reminds me, certainly not the first time Gotham has homaged the Burton Schumacher quadrilogy, because they did that homage to Batman Returns that I love so much back in season 3 when Bruce's clone pushed Selina out the window, just like Max Schreck pushes Selina out the window of Batman Returns. So I love getting another nod to the Burton Schumacher quadrilogy in this episode. Yeah, so I just absolutely love this episode, and I can't wait to see what's coming next with Bruce catching up to Selina. So hopefully we'll get some more Bat-Cat stuff moving forward. But yeah, absolutely love this episode. Oh, and the shocking ending. I remember I was watching the latest episode of DC Daily, and two episodes ago, Hector Navarro was talking about this episode ending with a shocking ending, and it certainly did with Jim and Barbara there. So yeah, that certainly was the case. Talk to y'all later. Bat-Cat forever, from the first kiss to the last. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bat Jordan. Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
And closing out our feedback, it's the Green Butterfly.
Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly. Riddle me this and riddle me that. Ed just discovered that he's guilty and he's not dealing well with that. Riddle me this and riddle me that. The cat has chained up the bat. This city is delving deeper into darkness. Gotham needs the bat. 10 out of 10 revealing riddles. Have a super week. Green Butterfly out.
Wow, she got her riddles in. Nice. Good job, Green Butterfly.
Nice. Much more creative than I could be. Way to go.
Yeah, definitely. John, why don't you tell us how people can get in touch with us?
I think I might do that every week, right?
Yeah, but maybe live this time.
Leave feedback for us just like these good folks do. And if you would, please get it to us by Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern. You can call us at 304-837-2278. Or you can go to our feedback site, which is goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out text and leave it. You can attach an audio file, or you can use the provided SpeakPipe widget. Follow this show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM, and to subscribe to any of our Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network shows, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com And if we would ask that you would leave a 5-star review. Thank you very much. And now, here is your host, Jeff Gentry.
All right. Coming up next week is Penadura. So the description goes as follows. A military task force led by Eduardo Dorrance, guest star Shane West, is called in to provide relief for Gotham. Meanwhile, Enigma looks for answers from Penguin, who leads him back to Hugo Strange. Yay, B.D. Wong's back. Then Bruce is concerned about Selina's recent behavior. So this episode is on the 31st at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox, and there is no new Gotham on February 7th, but you can rewatch Year Zero. So interesting, because we said in a previous podcast that's kind of a playoff on the island, the prison where Bane is, you know, from. And so we've it's going to kind of lead into that, maybe. We've got B.D. Wong back as Hugo Strange. That's going to be exciting. Maybe. Who knows? We might get Lee.
Yeah.
You know, since we're seeing Hugo.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I don't know. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, you know, this season, 12 episodes, it is flying by. I'm not going to lie. That I'm going to say it's going to be good to have a week to breathe.
Sure, yeah.
And but it's going so good. I mean, I'm really excited about what they're doing. And so, man, oh, man, John, I am so thankful that you could jump in and truthfully bear most of the weight this week. I've had a very busy week and running sound for a production and dealing with sickness. And our Scarlet Cougar is not feeling well at all, and so she needed some time. And, man, oh, man, I'm just so thankful that you were able to jump in and just bear the weight of making sure that this gets going out this week. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I am more than happy to share any of the load for this. This is Gotham is an amazing show, and you guys do a great job with this podcast. And so anytime that I'm able to come in and participate, it is a pure joy for me. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time.